and welcome to episode 24 of the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show. Our last planned episode for 2016.
All right.
I know. Can you believe
kind
it?
Kind of bittersweet.
I know.
It is. Yeah.
Considering we only started this show, June 14th was the day that we recorded our first episode. And I think I posted it on like
wow.
June 18th or 19th. So it's kind of crazy that it's been 6 months. I feel like we've lived so much life in six months.
Yeah. The world is a different place. So,
yeah.
The world is a different
Actually,
place.
Actually, the world is a different place. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Very much yep. So. It's crazy. It's like one of those things where, like, on the one hand, it feels like we just started yesterday. And so I kind of can't believe that we started back in June. Like, that's been a while. But at the same time, I guess that's not too long. But it's crazy. It's been super fun.
That's true. And I remember back before we started the show, you were a little hesitant on the word broads. And I was like, Shandy, just like cunt, we're going to reclaim that word and take it back.
I was never hesitant. No, I actually had like another podcast in the works that had the word broad in it.
Really?
For that very reason.
Thanks to light on this, our last podcast.
True confessions.
Wow.
About this. When we were talking about the name, I was like, yeah, there's this other podcast that's in the works, but it's been in the works since 2015 and we haven't done anything with it. So
Give us the details, unless you're actually going to do it in their competition, then don't give us the details.
Yeah, no, we don't want to give them any help.
No, tell us about this. I have no recollection of this. Again,
well, I promise we talked about it. You can look at the messages. The proof is there. But
back when Barack Obama was still our president.
He still is our president.
the idea was for me and two of my other art history friends, we were going to talk about, like, we're all sort of into, like, various art history topics.
I do remember this now.
Yeah, like, people have worked in archives and museums and, like, various different things and have, like, a different experience with that. And we wanted to talk about topics in art history, which sounds really nerdy, but it's, you know, awesome. And at some point in time, maybe that will actually happen. But anyway, yeah, no, I'm all for the broads.
Good times. Yes. Yeah. Well, we actually, and I think we're going to talk about this in the feedback, we've had a lot of good feedback about the shirts we wore during the live show, which if you haven't gone back and watched that, you can go to janejack.com/live and find it there. Or you can, on the Jane Jack Facebook page, the video's there somewhere. You can just use the search feature. That's Jane Jack. I'm sorry. That's facebook.com/groups/janejackgroups. Or you can go to my Twitter and search somewhere there. I think the link is somewhere there too. So plenty of chances, places that you can watch it. And you can see all of the visual stuff there that we talked about, which I know is not great for an audio podcast, but that would be our I'm With Hers shirts, tank tops, our new artwork that's coming soon. Yes. And yeah. I think that's it. But, good times. So what's up, ladies? Any exciting plans for the rest of the year?
Well, I am going to France.
That's true.
Right. When do you leave?
On Saturday.
Saturday. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I feel like there's so much to do, but it's just going to be a quick trip and then I'll be back before the year's even over. So
actually, this isn't the last time that people will be hearing from us, though, because you guys still have to do your interviews. We all have to do our interviews with Shut Up Tim for the special patrons podcast.
Right.
Well, Amanda, you're booked soon, right? Because you're in season one.
Yeah, I am booked for next week. I listened to Jay's episode yesterday. I'm a little scared.
I'm a little
nervous as to what's to come, but I'm trying to stay positive. And yeah, it
drink a glass of wine and have some fun. Yeah. It's just Tim. Yeah. He's all bark.
Really fun or really, as the boys like to say, a rolling dumpster fire. So we'll see.
Yes. And if you know what we're talking about, and you are one of our patrons, we have created a new patrons feed for all the patrons of any level. And we're going to be releasing some special extra content for you guys during the kind of off season, the downtime, because, you know, we won't have a lot of the TV shows over the TV podcasts over the next month. Because Westworld is done, Survivor's done after the 14th. I think Walking Dead is in hiatus. And of course, we're taking some time off. So we've got some exciting, fun stuff that Tim has cooked up, some other ideas in the works. Excuse me. I'm trying to think. Oh, the Ramblecast will be back. Jay, when are you... Jay sitting across from me. When are you doing the Ramblecast? That will happen at some point. If you're into that, and that's just where Jay and Jack just literally ramble about whatever they want to. I don't know. There's going to be a little bit of downtime, though, on all the feeds. I think just the Married Man show and the Ramblecast will be it for a little while. So, I'm talking about this show's not getting released for 2 more weeks, honey. Yes. But yes, you can retroactively go back and check out Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike. But if you are interested in being a patron, you can do so by going to patreon.com/Jay and Jack, or you can go to jayandjack.com and click on the big red link on the top right hand of the page that says become a patron. You can support for as little as a dollar or as much as like a gazillion dollars. And I know it's the holiday season, so I don't want to shill too hard for that. But hey, the holiday season will be 2 weeks closer to ending once you hear this. But anyway, so there's that. Oh, we have a new Patreon goal level.
Oh. Oh, please do tell.
You guys were a part of this the other night, right?
I know, but
okay. I'm just making sure
that I don't think I saw like the final decisions on what was decided.
Okay, I'm making sure I got your consent before I announced this thing.
Oh, that's very considerate.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for checking if we want the tea.
I just wanted to make sure that I got your Patreon participation tea. So at the $1,250 level, so that's only $240 away. We are going to do a trivia contest with all of the different Jay and Jack network shows participating. And I think that that's going to be really fun. We talked about that on the end of our at the live show last week, the Champagne Brunch. And after that, everybody's, you know, we were kind of throwing around more ideas backstage, and we decided to make that a Patreon level. So come on, we can do that. We can get there. All right, now I'm done talking about that. Somebody else talk about something else. Please.
Oh, I've got a cute little story today, something that happened to me. So it was raining here in the city today, which is why I kind of look like a drowned cat right now. Not looking my finest. But I'm sitting on the subway, actually listening to our last episode, because I like to get caught up before we record. And these little kids come on, and they have these big binders, and they're like walking around. And, you know, usually when anyone comes on the subway that looks like they are begging or asking for something, you immediately just kind of like curl in. But I can't resist a cute kid, and the little kid comes up and it's like opens up the binder, and there's all this artwork, and they're selling artwork for $1. And it was just so stinking cute. And this kid was so cute that I bought one.
Oh, do you have it?
I do. I do. So this is, it's a little like ocean land picture.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah, so he like takes my dollar, and I'm like, because my stop's coming up, I'm like, why don't you just pick out one for me? And he goes and like has this like weird head cartoon that I wasn't really feeling, and I saw that behind it. And I was like, oh, wait, can I have that one? But yeah, it was cute. Just like one of those weird New York moments, and now I've got some rando child's artwork.
Well, that's awesome.
It only cost me $1.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. At Jay's Toy Show a couple of weeks ago, there were people randomly selling cookies for $1, and I was so hungry that Jay is shaking his head right now. Married Man Show listeners will know it as the Dave. oh my God. I was so hungry, and I was like, chocolate chips. Who could fuck up chocolate chips? The lady that made them and sold them could fuck up chocolate chips. They were so bad that not even Zach would eat them. Zach was like, cookie, and I was like, you can have them, kid. These are disgusting. And he took one. I'm sorry? Yes, you did say that they would be bad. And you know what? They were bad. So,
like, my brain went to, like, that they were, like, laced with drugs or something.
They were not laced with drugs, but
like random like creepers trying to sell cookies at a toy show. It's like got roofies in them.
They were not laced with drugs, but can I tell a story? Okay, sorry. At that same toy show that morning, Jay and his friend Keith were like back, their booths were next to each other, and somebody came up to them and asked them if they had any weed for sale.
Hey,
weed at the toy show. Sure, why not?
Weed at the toy show. But yeah, you look young and hip and like you like to get high. And Jay was like, you clearly don't know me. I'm a goody-goody that's never even tried a cigarette.
It's all right.
We can't all live exciting lives of cigarette puffs.
Exciting lives of cigarette smoking.
Fast-paced world of cigarettes.
The fast-paced world of experimenting with a cigarette. We all can live that life. Sorry.
So glamorous.
So glam. But anyway, so these chocolate chips were so good that Zach was like, I gave him the bag. He took the cookie and he handed the cookie and the bag back to me and was like, different cookies?
The boy's got taste.
Yes.
He's got standards.
So speaking of taste, we had this chicken and kale salad for dinner from Blue Apron tonight. And I massaged the kale. And I have to say, clearly, that kale didn't get horniest in the morning because it was not.
It was not hard.
It was. No, it wasn't. Oh, or maybe it did have a perpetual case of morning wood because it was not getting soft. And it was. My hands got all dirty. I had the Caesar dressing all over it. So I had my creamy hands all up in that kale. And it never got soft. It was, maybe it was drunk. Maybe it had like beer kale dick or something, but it was
just... Wait, whoa. Because it's like, it's not supposed to get like limp. It's just supposed to kind of... It's supposed to just kind of get green.
Well,
like,
guess
what? Brighter green.
The kale did nothing. What?
Okay. You sat there?
I sat there. I didn't use any rubber. No. No gloves. I had no gloves with the kale. I just used my bare hands.
I mean, but I feel like you were providing a lot of juices with that salad dressing. So
yes, yeah. I was just, it was the raw kale. I was all up in it, all of my, both hands.
Well, what was your technique? You might have just been doing it wrong.
That's very true. I might have been doing it wrong. I did not basket weave the kale. Maybe that was my problem. I tried for as long as I could stand it, and then I just gave up. It was not 1 minute. It was longer than a minute. Shut the fuck up, peanut gallery. I didn't. I did not massage it like that. I got up in there and I tossed it all around, tossed this kale salad.
I don't know. I think we might have to see the peanut gallery's version of events.
The peanut gallery is not going to demonstrate his version of events. Peanut gallery, do you have a version of events for this kale? I did not do it. Okay. Oh, you're making it look like I pinched the kale's nipple. I didn't pinch the kale's nipple. I'm just saying. I tossed that shit real good.
No, it's circles. I mean, I'm wondering, just like circles.
Yeah,
like
it's a clip.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if you're making it rain. You know?
Okay, I did not make this kale clit rain. Then
okay, but also, I'm interested in the amount of time that you were spending on it because you said it wasn't just a minute, but
the direction
recently learned that apparently 10 minutes is a lot.
Yes. Oh yes. Okay, we can put a pin in that.
When
let's
you're
go
massaging
back and
kale. That is a long time.
10 minutes to massage the kale is a long time. I did it for it said 5 minutes. I maybe did it for like 3.5, but I still felt like that was good. It was not a minute. How do you know?
Kale needs quality time.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well,
it's not that kale's fault. It takes it a little time to warm up.
All kale works differently.
Yeah. I know, but whatever. Okay, the moral of this story wasn't that I couldn't massage the kale properly. The actual point of this story was I ate a giant kale sandwich and I'm fucking starving right now. That's where I was going with that. Ba-ba-da-da.
But no Fritos?
No Fritos. I had to put a little kibosh on the Fritos. I've got a, I've got to start to like detox myself from the Fritos and the booze and everything before my 3-day refresh juice cleanse thing next week, which is still happening.
Right. I was going to ask what was going on with that.
Well, if you're listening to this, it's probably going on right now. But for you guys, it's happening in a few days.
Oh dear.
It's going to happen.
Good luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I actually, I had to fast yesterday and it was horrible. So I don't know how you're going to do that for 3 days, but, I actually had like a minor procedure yesterday, and had to be anesthetized. And so I couldn't eat and it was
when you say anesthetize, it sounds so more, I don't know.
Yeah.
So were you going to say so more sexy?
Not sexy. It sounds so like more doctor show. Yeah.
Well, anyway, no, and I did have a story. And this is probably like a huge overshare, but I always maintain that there's no oversharing on the internet. So
there is no such thing as overshare on the internet.
Yeah, no such thing. So I decided I would just go for it. So I've already told you guys part of this story, but not on the podcast. But then there's like another part that I didn't tell yet. So I had this lipoma. Okay. On my inner thigh, like super inner thigh, like right up by where like the thigh meets the body. And so I wanted to get it removed. And so the first part was going to the doctor and like, you know, him looking and deciding that I could get it removed, whatever. And it was just kind of funny because he was like, he asked me like, so how did you first notice this? And I was like
what was like,
I had? I think he meant like, did I first notice it by touch or did I see it or did I want to like, you couldn't really see. I mean, I couldn't see it, but anyway, it's like my hand was down there. Like, it's like right next to my vagina. So on my leg.
I'm not saying I was massaging the area, but
but
I found it by touch.
I found it by touch. I noticed it by touch. So anyway, that was phase one, was go to the doctor. So then yesterday I go to the clinic to have it removed, and because of its like placement, they had to put me under. And so whatever, like, you know, they tell you, okay, like you can't eat whatever and just, you know, come, like, don't wear any jewelry or anything. So you laughing because I said come?
I'm just laughing at the way you said it. Please continue.
Okay.
Don't draw attention to my immaturity.
Oh no. Well, just you wait. So
did you actually, okay, so... No, keep going.
No, I did not.
Wait. I don't want to spoil this.
I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Was not even turned
That's
on.
That's what she
but,
said.
I did wear cute underwear because I was like, people are going to be seeing my underwear today while I'm lying like anesthetized on a table. So I get there and like, you know, you have to put on the gown and they're like, okay, can we see like where it is? Like how can, and the nurse is like, okay, actually, yeah, you're going to have to take off your underwear. So I'm like, okay, well, so much for the cute underwear. Like I'm fully fucking naked, whatever. But like, you know, on the way there, like, you know, I didn't wear earrings and I like took off my wedding band for the first time since I've basically like, since I've put it on.
Wow.
Which is weird. Yeah. Like I've never.
Take it off to
like,
wash your hands or anything?
No, it's just a band. Like it's not there's no like rocks or anything in it. So oh, you have it off right now. Yeah. No, I just always
take generally have my wedding ring off. I don't know, I don't want to like ruin it. I mean I wear it out of the house all the time. And I wear it. Yeah, but generally at nighttime, like I just took a shower. I only have size 4.5 fingers, so like everything falls off me, yeah.
Girl, I'm right there with you. Yeah. Teeny tiny little fingers.
Yeah, I'm
that
sorry.
Is adorable.
So you took your wedding band off for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah, go to the doctor, or whatever, and I get there, and like, so now, like, I'm like sitting there in the gown and like with no underwear, just like sitting there.
Gosh, she took and her ring off and her panties.
Yeah,
man,
slut.
Mm-hmm. So then the nurse comes in and was like, "Oh, like, can you take your nose ring out?" And I was like, oh, like, I kind of forgot that I even had that. Like, I don't even think of that as, like, jewelry. But yeah, it's, like, metal, whatever. So take my nose ring out, which is another thing that I never take out. Haven't for like years. And so that was kind of annoying, but I, you know, I got it out. And so then she leaves me and I'm like waiting for the doctor to come. So I'm just waiting. And there was like no TV, no, nothing to read, just like waiting there, like lost in my thoughts. And all of a sudden I realize I have more metal on me because, and here's our overshare.
I know this.
I have another piercing. I was like, oh my God.
I know this.
Yes, you do. I have a piercing on my intimate lady bits. And so I was like, fuck. That one I have never taken out. I don't even know if I can take it out. Like, and if you do take it out, I mean, that shit.
You'll probably never get it back in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's definitely what he said. But I'm like, I should probably, like, I don't know why they have this no metal rule, but I should probably tell them. I mean, they're going to find out soon enough anyway. But so finally, like, the doctor comes in and he's like, okay, any other questions? It's like, well, actually, I have a genital piercing. Is that going to be a problem? He's like, okay. He's like super old too. But of course, you know, very professional. It's like, well, you know, I'll ask and we'll see. And then like another nurse comes in and she's like, do you have any questions? I was like, well, I just talked to the doctor, but like, I have a piercing. Like, is that going to be a problem? And anyway, this happened like, seriously, like 3 or 4 times that these people were not talking to each other. They would just come in one by one. And I had to repeat myself over and over and just like tell myself, like, whatever, this is like a medical environment. They've seen so much worse. It's totally fine. But it was awkward and embarrassing. And then they're like, okay, well, you should probably take it out. Because like when he's like cauterizing stuff, like that could heat up the metal and then that would burn me. It's like, yeah, definitely don't want that. So
they also like going it. They worry about like swelling, that you'll have complications from swelling, like with ring and jewelry.
That's not good. Yeah.
I know you can't wear nail polish when you're under anesthesia because they're worried if you lose circulation, if something happens, one of the first signs are your fingernails turn blue.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. They didn't tell me that. And I mean, luckily I just don't really wear nail polish, but. Anyway, so they like roll me to the bathroom and like, okay, can you just like try? And then if not, like I can try once you're under. And if not, then we can just like try to like figure out a different solution. So I'm like, okay. So I like go into the bathroom, like trying, but I really like, I can't, I think like you need a tool. Actually, you need like maybe pliers. So finally I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I just can't. And then they get me in the operating room. Of course, the other surgeon who's in there too is like some old dude. Like, sweet. But they were like, no, like apparently they could just use something else that didn't have this heat involved. So if there was bleeding, whatever. I mean, and it was super, super minor. But now I'm like, wow, I guess for future reference, hopefully I won't be back in the hospital for a long time, but something to think about. So when I came out of the anesthesia and like woke back up, that was one of the first things that I checked. I was like, so do I still have it or not? I do.
I just went on the internet and I'm real sorry, Jay, because there are some graphic fucking pictures of labia on your computer right now. Are there or are there not?
A few. I mean, they're not that graphic.
I
mean,
I don't think you have
this computer has seen worse.
Yeah. I feel like that's not something you have to apologize for. Usually.
That's true. It's not like it's a laptop you're going to open at work where, you know, Google is like, do you like this? it actually very specifically talks about piercings on the down layers. And it says it can harbor bacteria and increase the risk of infection if near a surgical site. Which is a sort of near your surgical site. But it says these types of piercings must be kept out for 12 weeks after. But that's only... Oh, after labiaplasty. Maybe this site is totally not what I thought it was.
Like, they're not going to touch each other. They'll be fine. And I mean, it was such a minor thing.
Oh, my goodness. Now that I know this is a labiaplasty site, look at that poor vagina. They mutilated her. Look!
What did they do?
I know. Now I'm kind of curious, but also terrified.
Yeah.
Yes, but look, they
And you wanted to circumcise our son. What do you think that is?
Wait.
It's the same thing as circumcising a guy.
I know, but still, this looks inhumane. Okay.
But it's okay to cut a dude's half of his dick off?
And he's not circumcised, so you don't have to tell me about cutting half his dick off. Jeez Louise. As you can see, while I was pregnant,
I hope he never hears this.
One of us had a... like, hey, like ladies, a listening to this.
Zach from the future is like, oh my God, my mom, it's on the internet. Oh, I hate you.
Oh, it's fine. He's going to be my kid. I'll be fine with it. I did something totally embarrassing today, though.
Speaking of circumcision.
No, I'm just saying, speaking of embarrassing, Shandy, will you let us know if your piercing gets infected?
Yes. I mean, it's
good segue. That was real smooth.
Thanks.
Should not be a problem, but I will let you know. But I was having this moment, first of all, like, well, I mean, you can't, like, I used to have my tongue pierced, for example, and like that, like, you know, earrings, like, you can take that shit out for a long time, but like other places, like, you take out a tongue ring, like, that shit closes real fast. I'm guessing this one is more akin to the tongue ring type scenario. But I guess it'd be fine if I didn't have it anymore, because hopefully, I mean, God, if I, like, heaven forbid, ever need to get like a real surgery, I should probably be able to take that shit out.
Hey, cross that bridge when you come to it.
Exactly. Yeah, but it was fun. So actually, so then I came out of anesthesia and I was Facebook chatting with my husband like immediately after, which was weird. I was like, is this okay? And the nurse was totally cool. Not sure.
You're
what
lucky
the,
you came out like, of it okay. I feel like I always have like a mess coming out of anesthesia.
Really? I have no problem.
I'm not doing anything for like 4 hours afterward. Like, I barely know my own name most of the time.
Finish your story,
and then we can tell some Amanda has some hard times with anesthesia stories, because there are several.
Oh, man. That's a lot of anesthesia. No, I was like silly. I was definitely like high for a while, but I had told my husband, who's in France right now, that I would like let him know that I was alive and like, okay. And so we video chatted for a while and I was like telling him the whole story, and he was there with some of our friends. And after the fact, like, I was like, I can't remember if they know. I think they know. I got it pierced when I lived in France. So I was like friends with them at the time, probably told them. But if I did it, now they know. Cause you know, like, legally high Shandy was just like, meh.
Now it all makes sense.
I understand. Yes. I took it another direction, but yeah, this makes more sense.
Yes, I also we all thought you were smoking the weed.
Yeah, you live in California. It's legal now.
Your message was literally, I'm high, but legally.
So where were you supposed to go?
You were part of the message. Sorry. Peanut Gallery is looking at me like, what?
Wait, did I send that to the...
You
the
did, because...
I sent it to multiple people. That was the first thing. And that's why, because I was high. I was like, oh, hi! But no, I don't smoke pot, actually, because I am a federal employee, so...
Yeah, that's why I was surprised. That's why I responded with the on a school night.
Yes, you did. And then Tim was like, what? Where? How? How can I get some?
Like, have surgery.
Yeah, have surgery. Yep. I have never had a problem with anesthesia. So I currently still have several lipomas, and I had one removed also in my upper thigh groin area. And
they make you take your underwear off?
Oh gosh. I had it done May 1st, 2010. I know. I remember because it was Jay's mom's birthday, so I remember the May 1st, okay. And it was before I got married, so that's why I remember the 2010.
Okay, because give me like a week and I will forget the exact date on which I got this.
It's okay. I'll remember for you. Ask me again next year.
Yesterday, I sat like for 5 minutes trying to remember what I had for dinner the night before, and then I just kept sitting there because it really bothered me that I couldn't remember such a simple thing.
Well, I remember when I had this. And my experience, Jenny, totally different. A, I insisted on watching.
Well, I couldn't. I was asleep.
I know. And so that's why I was shocked when you said you were having it taken out. Because I have a scar there and I would take a picture. But, you know, you don't need to see that. But if you ever see me in a bathing suit, I will point it out. Because you can see it. It's below, like, the bathing suit line. I have a gazillion, though. And I, like, keep getting more. Actually, I have one on my... Was it the arm or the rib one? I got one when I was pregnant and it got bigger than the rest of them. So after Zach was born, I went to a dermatologist again. And he was basically like, well, you've had it taken out once, so your insurance is not going to pay for it again. But if you want to pay for it to be a cosmetic removal. And I was like, no, thanks. I'm cool. But yeah, I like I said, I had a different experience. I wanted to watch, like, they did the local anesthesia. I watched them cut it open. I watched them take it out. I saw what it looked like, and it was still, like, squishy and cool and awesome.
Yeah.
And then after, I was like, do you have to send the whole thing to get tested? Can I have a piece of it? No, not really.
Ew, weirdo.
No, I really didn't do that. But, like, you know, I looked at it in a little jar, and I was like, cool. And then... You know, that was it.
My husband was like, did you ask him if you could keep it?
Yeah.
Let me keep it if you ask. And I was like, dude, you men and your balls. Like, I do not need to keep this lipoma. And yeah, no, they are sending it out to get tested. So no, but I don't need to see it. I don't need to keep it.
Yeah. Well, girl, if you start getting them in your stomach and your arm and your ribs, let me know. We can commiserate.
Oh,
but
I hope not. Knock on wood.
Anyway, we should move on because we've got a fuck ton of feedback. I kind of want to start with an article that Mr. Chris Kolk sent us because I feel like we're about to have a return of the broadcast players.
Yeah. So Kolk sent us an article from the Huffington Post that is Baby It's Cold Outside. Rewrite strikes a new chord with consent. And it's about this couple from Minneapolis who were not a fan of the original Christmas song, which if you listen to the lyrics, is pretty freaking creepy. So they rewrote it. And it's much more about, like, only if you want the tea. So very exciting. It's Lydia Liza and Josiah Lemansky. And we have the lyrics here, and I think the broadcast players are going to make a return tonight.
Yes. Amanda, do you want to read the female part, and I will read the male part? Which I think is... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. It really can't stay.
Baby, I'm fine with that.
I got to go away.
Baby, I'm cool with that.
This evening has been...
Been hoping you get home safe.
We may have to stop now. I'm confused.
I don't know the male part.
I get it. This evening has been so very nice.
Been hoping you get home safe. Just keep going, roll with it.
Okay, we're up to your line, sir.
So very nice is mine?
No. It's because they split the lines. Like, this evening has been so very nice.
Yes. Where are you?
Fourth line down.
Yeah.
Then you say, I'm glad you have a real good time.
Oh, shit. Okay. Hold on. Let's start again. Go.
I really can't stay.
Baby, I'm fine with that.
I've got to go away.
Baby, I'm cool with that.
This evening has been...
Been hoping you get home
so
safe.
So very nice.
I'm glad you had a real good time.
My mother will start to worry.
Call her so she knows that you're coming.
Father will be pacing the floor.
Better get your car humming.
Really, I better scurry.
Oh, no! I dropped a wine bottle.
No!
And the peanut gallery went to sleep. Peanut gallery.
Oh no. Was that corked?
No. Peanut gallery, I need a towel. Okay. Shit. Where were we? Let's just keep this in. Where were we?
Really, I better scurry.
No rush.
Should I use the front or back door?
Which one are you pulling more towards? Towards more.
The neighbors might think
that you're a real nice girl.
Say, what's in this drink?
Pomegranate LaCroix.
I wish I knew how.
Maybe I can help you out
to break the spell.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have to say no.
You reserve the right to say no.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
You reserve the right to say no.
I really can't stay.
Whoa, you don't have to, baby.
It's cold outside. I've got to get home.
Do you know how to get there from here?
Say, where is my coat?
I'll go and grab it, my dear.
You've really been great.
We'll have to do this again.
Yes, I agree.
How about the Cheesecake Factory? I would say fuck to the no immediately. Immediately.
Nope. Like, this has been great, but I gotta go.
Thanks for the option of tea.
Ooh, no thanks. Don't like, I'm lactose intolerant.
How about the Cheesecake Factory?
We're bound to be talking tomorrow.
Text me at your early convenience.
At least I have been getting that by.
Lest I catch pneumonia and die.
Oh, no. I'll be on my way.
Thanks for the great night. Baby, it's cold outside.
Cold outside.
Badoo, badoo.
Bravo.
Anyway, I have to say, Jay and I were talking about awesome. The original song before we started recording, and I feel bad because this wine is still soaking in the carpet, although I did get my towel while we were singing. And this isn't really, I mean, it's sort of rapey, but it's not like, I know you want it, Robin Thicke rapey.
Kind of like, it's just talking about like what's in the drink. It's like, I don't know, maybe like the date rape drug.
The song is from an era where it was like meant to be like he was just being like a cheeky guy and like, you know, more like he spiked her drink with like gin and really she thought she was drinking a Shirley Temple.
Right. It's from the era when.
So it's just like, it's a song that hasn't really carried over into modern times very well. It was meant to be very innocent.
If you consider.
And we don't live in innocent times. We don't live in innocent times anymore.
Exactly. I agree with Amanda because if you think about it, this song was written when Lucy and Ricky still slept in two beds.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that it was an innocent time. I think that we're just more aware of.
I think pop culture was innocent, though. Like, if that was really a rapey song, it wouldn't have made it onto popular airways. Like, it wouldn't have become like a classic holiday song. Because again, we were still like seeing married couples sleeping in twin beds at that point historically.
Yeah, but I would say that that's actually just a sign of like how that kind of stuff was so ingrained and like, you know, okay, it doesn't have to be overtly like, I'm gonna rape you tonight, you know, to be like, not okay.
Well,
and that people could still like sing along as a Christmas song and think it was just like cute. And it's like, not really.
I mean, okay, I'm looking through the original lyrics and there really is like some of this is like horny teenager shit that is whatever. My mother will start to worry. Beautiful, what's your hurry? My father will be pacing the floor. Listen to the fireplace now. I mean, that's clearly like, touch my dick, I'm on it. But again, she can still say no. It's not like, I'm putting your hand on my dick and you will touch it now. The only thing that I feel like maybe questionable is, I ought to say no. Mind if I'm moving closer. At least I'm going to say that I tried. What's the sense in hurting my pride? That's the only time I'm like, you know.
I think it's kind of, it's like feeds into that, like, she's wondering what the neighbors are going to think. She's supposed to be the nice, pure girl, and he's supposed to be the man. So he's supposed to be pushing and asking.
Again, if you think about the time period that was written in, I mean, we've gotten a million pop culture movies from that time that pretty much sort of sell that narrative, so to speak. So,
yep.
Well, it's also very like, will you still love me tomorrow? You know, like, I think there's kind of a similar undertone to that of like, okay, well, if I decide to do this with you, like, what are the neighbors going to think? Like, will, you know, are you going to drop me? Like, you know, what's going to happen?
Will you still love me tomorrow? Hey, what's your favorite Christmas carol or holiday song? Speaking of carols, I love it. Okay, sorry. We mean King.
Still my
Carol
favorite
King.
Part of Gilmore Girls.
Oh my God. Total side note, but my anesthesiologist was Dr. Gilmore. And when they told me that, I was like,
she was a woman.
And so I was like, okay, Shandy, just like keep your shit together. Don't come out of being under anesthesia and like talk about how like, oh my God, you're a Gilmore girl. That's what I just kept telling myself. And if I did that, I don't remember it.
I hope that you did and don't remember, because that would be the ultimate Gilmore girl moment.
I would have. Yeah. I would have. Again. Oh. Bad reactions to anesthesia.
Hashtag.
I would have shouted it. But I would have thought I was being really clear, but it would have sounded like, I'm cold. I'm going to throw up.
Hashtag career pass that we hope Roy actually went on.
Became an anesthesiologist. Yeah, they make good bank. Yeah.
No, just a doctor
in
general.
Good money.
But anyway, we have a lot of feedback. So what's your fucking favorite Christmas carol?
I have three favorite Christmas songs.
Do it.
But I don't rank them within the three in any particular order.
Of course
totally
not. Of course
acceptable.
Not.
Okay. Carol of the Bells.
Oh, I love Carol of the Bells.
Ave Maria and O Holy Night.
Interesting. I don't always associate Ave Maria as a Christmas song, but I guess it kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always think of it as just like a year-round song.
She's like the main player I guess Jesus is the main player, but it's kind of...
I don't know. She's kind of like, she's the leading lady of that story.
Yeah.
I'm Catholic, so I was raised to think she was the leading ladies. There's that. We have shrines.
Yeah. We have shrines.
We do. Amanda?
Oh, I don't think I could pick one either, so I'm going to have to just go with the first maybe three that pop up.
Go for it.
Pop into my head. I really like that Chuck Berry, like, run, run, Rudolph, Santa's got to make it to town. Tell him he can hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. I like that one. I really like Here We Come A-Wassailing.
Oh, that's fun.
It reminds me of like Little Women and like.
Yeah. Aww. Oh, God, so good.
Joe, our feminist hero.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
God, such so good.
I know. I like Carol of the Bells too. That's a good one.
It's a good, good classic.
There's another one that I really love, and it's escaping me.
I bet you.
We were like,
I bet you. I might.
Yeah, we're having a housewarming party on Saturday, so we've been working on a Christmas music list. So we've been like listening to.
Nice.
And there was like one that came up that I was like, oh God, I love this song. I forgot I love it. And go ahead. Maybe it'll come to me.
I love them all. Like, I have never met a Christmas song that I don't like. Can I just tell you that I did not understand the meaning of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus until a year ago?
What did you think it was?
I didn't know. And then...
You just didn't...
After, just like, sang along and...
After I was a mommy, I got it. And I was like, fuck, I get it now. It's because Daddy is Santa Claus.
Yes,
spoiler alert. Totally. I don't like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, but that's because I love my grandma.
Yeah.
And I'm literal, so there's that. It's funny for somebody that jokes so much. I'm literal. My favorite, I am that person. I get to Christmas Eve Mass like an hour early and I sing my heart out with every single one.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that I was shit faced when I'm not, because I got my eyes closed and I'm swaying with the music and I'm all into it. I'm like, you know,
this is amazing.
Oh, come.
Christmas Mass with you.
Yeah. Love it. But I would have to say Angels We Have Heard on High.
Oh, that's a good
one. Yeah. I like that.
Love Angels We Have Heard on High. Hallelujah Chorus. Which
I don't. Mm-hmm. I think of that as an all the time song.
Yeah, I know that's probably more like Easter, really... Hallelujah, but like Hallelujah.
No, it's Christmas, because you always do Handel's Messiah.
Handel's Messiah, and then I guess as far as my more traditional ones go, it has to be a tie between O Come All Ye Faithful and Silent Night, and you guys are going to laugh at me.
Stood.
when you find out why, O come all ye faithful. But I feel like it's fitting.
O come?
No.
That's what I was thinking too.
No.
Okay.
Fuck you, dirty minds. So no.
Well, you said we were going to laugh.
I know. You said...
No.
Like, you literally were setting me up for the obvious.
Because when I was a little girl, I watched the Brady Bunch Christmas special, and Mike gets trapped in the well, and Carol helps him find his way out of the well by singing O Come All Ye Faithful and leading all of the people that were outside of the, not of the well, the mines or whatever the fuck it was. And they had to get out of the mines, and, you know, Carol let everybody in, O Come All Ye Faithful, and I thought it was such a beautiful moment as like a five-year-old, and it's always been one of my favorite Christmas songs. And I said it was fitting because rest in peace, Florence Henderson. Oh, boom, okay. Bam, yeah. Surprise, drop the mic. Nice.
How are we ever going to guess that, though?
Well, okay. Well, yes. You were to laugh at it because it's from the Brady Bunch. It's okay, where my love goes back to.
Cool.
I also like Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, I love that.
That's a good one, too.
Only because I really like to sing that one.
Yes.
All those runs, it's really fun. Oh,
and Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yes.
That's really, really good. When you were saying, like, you don't really like it, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, those kind of Christmas songs I can definitely pass on to. I'm like, I love like all the super churchy ones, which as an atheist,
I know,
is kind of weird, but like, even like, I was talking to my brother at Thanksgiving, they're beautiful.
Pretty.
Well, and I mean, it's maybe also like a little nostalgia and stuff from childhood, but I was thinking like on Christmas Eve this year, I was like, I might go to church. Like, just for the music, but like...
That's what I do.
I might actually...
Hey, it doesn't matter what you put on the door. If it's the music, then, you know.
Honestly, yeah. They sing the same songs at the same points in Mass every single year. I'm 32 years old, and I've gone to Christmas Eve Mass for 32 years. They sing the same songs, and I love the fuck out of them every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like...
Well, I will, yeah.
Yeah. Like... Nobody takes this the wrong way, but I feel like I'm in like gospel choir, like swaying back and forth. even, you know, the most like Silent Night, not even like a sway back and forth song, but I'm totally down with it.
Sing your heart out. Yeah. No, I do. Yeah. I do miss like singing in a choir, especially around Christmas. And the music's good. Yeah. It's good, which I do not understand. Over on the Married Man show, they were totally trashing Christmas music. It's like, what is wrong with you people?
Oh, fuck
Killjoys.
They have no they have no sense of humor.
Yeah. Whatevs.
How could you not like Christmas music? Come on.
I know.
I mean, I don't like hearing Christmas music in November. But now that it's Christmas time, like, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly.
I may or may not sometimes start in July, so it's...
Also, who doesn't love listening to Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town all year round?
Oh, that's also really
good. I know.
Pretty good.
I know. All right, let's move on to some of this feedback, because I feel like there's 0% chance that we're going to finish this show in a timely manner. I'll start with the Facebook feedback. Kathy says, love the show. Thank you, ladies, for all that you do. You bring a laugh and a smile to me during my work day. That's really all we can hope for. So, yay!
That's nice.
Yeah. Yes. Seriously.
Oh, and I heard from Anonymous from last week. She messaged me saying she will message us before she talks to her dude.
Yay!
And she also said that her friends refer to them as Jim and Pam.
Love wins.
If that could be the theme of 2016. So, yay!
2017, man. I'm looking forward to some love. Yes.
Bring it the fuck on. All right. Eckhart says, good Lord, that's 3 episodes in less than 7 days. Oh, trust us. We know. It wasn't supposed to be. I will make sure to get in an email ahead of the deadline, which he did. So, stay tuned.
A little teaser. Little preview.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sink Pisser Jones said, Eckhart, get a hold of this mess. Put a hold on the podcast with your producing power so we can catch up. You'll have plenty of time to catch up. We're going to take a few weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Then Eckhart responded with, why would I even suggesting that the most entertaining podcast on the network slow down their output? It's as silly as telling Jack to stop coming up with great crackpot theories. To be fair, he would have to have great crackpot theories to stop coming up with them.
Shade.
And then JP said, any way to end the show on a cliffhanger? My guess is Shandy is really the Man in Black, which Shandy is not totally caught up on Westworld.
I am.
You are?
Yeah, that was the main advantage, I was home all day yesterday because of, you know, the surgery.
Oh, cuz you were recovering.
I was recovering.
So you watched them while high?
Well, okay, so here's the thing about
I'm curious how God, that works.
I would love to know what those were like.
I know.
You know what? That the anesthesia like really didn't last very long. So it was like I was silly when I woke up and I was silly when I was on the phone with my husband. But then like the moment that I got something in my stomach, like they gave me like a power bar and like juice. Yeah, and it was like fine. The moment I got some sustenance, I was like pretty okay, and then an hour later I was totally fine, but I still couldn't drive or anything, so I went home and watched Marathon Westworld and caught up on that.
I have a new idea for a podcast: Westworld High with Shandy, Nick, and Tim, our legal California listeners.
But I'm not legal. I can do Westworld drunk.
Westworld Drunk and High with our California podcasters.
It's kind of like our version of drunk history.
All right. Yeah. So we also have
drunk recaps. Actually sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
Go listen to The Tribe.
I was just going to say, you should listen to the Cambodia season of The Tribe, in which Colleen was pretty fucking shit-faced for a lot of it. Oh, that was fun. That was the season after I stopped nursing. So I just was like, I can drink all the time, all bitches. Small.
You had some catching up to do.
We have a bunch of emails and a voicemail. Let's start with the voicemail so we just can do emails after.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Hey, guys, this is Matt from Jersey. I just wanted to run a question by you about what your thoughts were on our relationship situation. So my wife and I have been married for a while now, and we have kids, and we probably get intimate once a week on average, sometimes once every 2 weeks, but that's about it. But life's just super busy and with the kids, and that's why we kind of make time. It's not spontaneous, but we make time once a week, probably on a Saturday night. But it's good times, you know, when we are intimate. Having said that, I've noticed over the last several months that every time my wife, and probably actually me too, but mostly her, is tipsy. And so I guess the question is, does that mean anything that, you know, we need to be moderately drunk the nights that we get it on? Or is it just part and parcel of us, you know, things being busy, things being stressed, and this loosens the inhibitions. I'd like to think we're still attracted to each other and don't need to be drunk in order to have a good time. But yeah, just curious what you guys thought. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that call. Ladies?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Do you want to start, Amanda?
Sure, because I guess not being married or with children, I suppose my perspective is a little different. I mean, I would say kudos to you for making it a priority and finding the time, because I think that's probably the most important part. Because yeah, the older you get and the more responsibilities you have, I would imagine particularly kids being the main one, that spontaneity is just probably sometimes near impossible. So I think there can be something really romantic and sexy about planning and like making the time for that sort of stuff. Yeah, as far as the like being buzzed, I don't know. Being buzzed is fun. So I guess I wouldn't think too far into it, sort of knowing they're already putting in so much effort to find the time to be intimate. So if one was not into it, they wouldn't put the effort into finding the time. But again, I don't really have quite the perspective on this. So I'm going to throw it to you, ladies.
Shady Pants?
Yeah, I mean, I think like quality over quantity is definitely important, especially like when you're in a more long-term relationship. So I think that's great. And if you're making the time, like as long as you guys are both sort of happy with, like how often, you know, like how much you're doing it, then I think you're good. And obviously you can always complement that with some quality time by yourself as well. I don't know. I mean, the tipsy stuff, like, I guess if it's mostly like usually on a Saturday night, like that's also usually the night that people like go out and they can sleep in the next day. Although I guess with kids, maybe not so much, but it's like, you don't have to work the next day. So it's the day that like people do tend to have drinks. So if it's like lining up that way just for that, then it's not necessarily a problem. I don't know. I think for me personally, like, I mean, like I'm super horny when I'm drunk, but like, I'm like really, I can have a good time, but I'm like, definitely probably not going to get off if I'm drunk. So I wouldn't personally want to only be having sex when I'm tipsy, but I don't like, I don't know how your wife functions or like how her body works. That would be my only thing. Like, so hopefully everyone's getting taken care of. I don't know. I mean, I guess like you could try for like, what about Saturday morning? I don't, again, like with kids, and maybe this is where Colleen can jump in, because I don't have kids. I have two cats, and they sometimes get in the way, but I can just lock them out of the room. So that's all. That's the extent of. So yeah, Colleen, what do you like? You have probably the closest perspective, just because you're married and have a kid.
Yes, and other things with this email. So just a couple of things. I don't think that the tipsy thing is a problem unless there's some other factors at hand. And I think that I would probably need more backstory other than life is super busy with kids and, you know, you just need to try to make time. And there's a couple of things. Like, one, do you guys have problems outside of, you know, the sexy time thing that you think that it might be some kind of underlying issue that perhaps bothers her so much that she wants to, you know, make sure that you guys still connect sexually, but maybe there's something that's bugging her that you guys need to talk through. And if you don't think that there's anything like that, then totally disregard. The second thing is, I get kids cock blocking you. Kids cock block. I mean, kids cock block. Like, they have an uncanny ability to show up at all the times that you're like, really, kid? Really? Fuck you. So, you know, there's that too. She could also just be trying to fit everything in at once if you guys are so busy and, you know, she needs to get, like, she wants to relax and drink and bone you and, like, relive, like, college years or, you know, whatever. And that could be that could be it too. But I would urge you to, the very least, rule out that there's something else that the two of you need to talk about first, in which it's bother, you know, that she feels like she wants to be tipsy first. And I'm not bringing doom. I'm not harboring, whatever the word is. Harbinger of death, harboring, whatever the word is. I'm not doing that whatsoever. Whatsoever, but I would just check in with her and see, like, hey, you know, are we cool? Like, is there anything that we need to talk about? Because when you have kids, things always build up and you don't always get to talk about them because you're always like, you always put them on the back burner. You're like, hey, you know, it's fine. This is just a kid thing. Like, just make sure that there's nothing that's actually creating a situation. And if there's not, then hey, maybe she just wants to relive, you know, those younger days of getting drunk and fucking. And, you know, if that gets her frisky, mm-hmm. then that gets her frisky. It's,
yeah.
We get fucking tired. Moms are fucking tired. It's tiring. It's fucking tiring, especially if she goes to work. Like, you're up early. Yeah. You might be up half the night. You have to go to work full time. You have to come home. You have to make dinner. You have to then do the dishes. And then some nights you have to do the laundry. And you have to, you know, clean your kitchen and clean your bathroom. And it's just, it's exhausting. And, you know, sometimes not getting something that you're missing on that front can affect it. I will say that, you know, being like, oh, well, why should I get you off if you can't help me, like, fold the laundry or something? Again, this is just.
I was going to say, hopefully he's equally as tired because he's doing half of all of the things that you just listed. But also to go back to what Amanda was saying about scheduling time, like, I'm actually super for that. And, like, I get that spontaneity is really hot, but, like, why not schedule some time? And so that way you can be like, okay, like, the grandparents or the babysitters or whoever is taking the kids on this day, and, like, we're gonna fuck on this day. And then mm-hmm. maybe you have drinks after, and so you could try to see if that works also. Then if that does, well, I don't, I mean, I guess like the one thing about that is that could be putting a lot of pressure on that situation, but I'm definitely for like scheduling it in, be like, okay.
Yeah. And you know what? If you have to fuck on the floor of a closet while your kid is watching TV real quick, then you get that in. Just saying.
That's what he said.
Yep.
Or she.
That's what Carl said.
I'm just saying. And the closet has probably never been vacuumed since I moved in. And there's that. But no, I always thought for the first 2 years of Zach's life, I like everybody always says, you know, schedule that date night once a month. And I was so naive. I was like, no, we got this. And then like, there's a difference. Like you could totally fit in sex here and there, but like, if you don't have that reconnecting date moment, then sex becomes more of a chore. 'Cause you have to have those moments as a couple where you can actually, you know, talk without kids. And I'm not talking about after they go to sleep where you're like, I'm so tired. Let's talk without kids and then go watch Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Like, you know, I'm really like actually getting out of the house and doing something where, you know, it's just like the two of you. And I feel like everybody always told me that. And I was so naive. Like for the first 2 years of Zach's life, I kept going, no, I'm fine. It's fine. You know, things are still good on this front or things are still okay on that front. But like, if you don't reconnect, it does actually turn the other things into more of a chore. So I would say definitely make sure, like maybe you're just not connecting on the right level and you just need to do some, you know, like tweak and not nipple tweaking, but like
you tweaking boobs.
You know, like recircuiting and touching base. That would be my suggestion as somebody with a kid.
Definitely.
And a busy schedule.
If you do then like decide to like actually schedule some time, like pencil it in, I think that can be really fun because it gives you something to think about. So like all day long you're gonna be like, yeah, okay, at 5:15 today or whatever, you know. So like I think
I'm gonna stick my pee-pee inside you later.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have another email from an anonymous listener, and that is, recently my 6-year-old daughter has started to rub herself on things, like the corner of the coffee table or the chair's armrest. My wife says it's natural and that when it happens, to just tell her to go do it in private. I don't want to make her self-conscious, but I also don't want her to feel so okay with this that she does it at school or in public. I was wondering what your approach is would be to this situation, and also was wondering when stuff like this started happening in your lives. Anonymous.
Again, I don't have kids, so.
Well, I would say for this, I don't have any memories of myself like rubbing myself in public, but I definitely remember like probably around that age, just sort of not realizing that it was sexual, but realizing maybe just in bed that like certain parts of my body felt different. But I think this person's wife is totally on the money. I think that it's just a conversation to have where like, and maybe multiple conversations over time, but like to reiterate that this is okay and this is totally normal, but this is something that we do in private. And so like not to shame this child, but like to let them know like it's okay, but it's not okay in the living room. So if you feel like you want to do that, you can go and hang out in your room.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe having that conversation, not always when you see her doing it. You know, maybe having it, you know, it's like, oh, you remember the other day? Like, you know, so then you're not always just like, so she's not always associating having that conversation. Yeah. Like, so she won't feel as self-conscious if you're sort of bringing it up outside of the incident itself.
Yeah.
Yes. And I would actually also recommend doing it in a way that she might relate to you more. Like, instead of just sitting down and being like, hey, honey, I just want to talk to you about when you do this, and I want you to know that this is something that you do in private. If she has a different way of relating to things, and I can't even think of a good example off the top of my head, I just remember like the way that my parents used to talk to me about things, and they sometimes the things they would talk to me about, they were uncomfortable about it. So it made me uncomfortable because I recognized that, and I felt not so much shame or not that I did something wrong, but I just felt uncomfortable about it. So if there's a way that you can relate something to her in a way that she could understand, especially at 6 years old, I have a 2.5 year old, and he doesn't always relate to things, you know, on the same level that I think he would, like sitting down and talking to him like, so Zach, why would you do that? You know, but there are times that, you know, we can talk to him in his own way and he understands it. And like when I was telling the story about when we were at the urgent care and they had to swab his throat for strep throat. And we thought he was going to freak out because he's had like 20 ear infections in his life. And every time they look in his ear, he freaks out. So this time, you know, we were there for 2 hours, but we kept saying like, okay, Zach, it's going to be uncomfortable. He's going to get the back of your throat. You're not going to like it. We talked to him about it, and we didn't think he was even listening at all. But it turns out he was because when they came in, they swabbed his throat for a good 45 seconds, and he never cried. He looked uncomfortable, but like all he did was squeeze our hands like we told him. So kids do listen in their own way. Just you have to find the way that you think that they might be listening the best. And that's the only real, you know, suggestion I have. I
like realized that something was going on down there, but I never like did anything with it because in my family, we actually just didn't talk about it. So like I didn't. And I think a lot of women, like a lot of little girls are kind of like in our culture, at least, are robbed of this sexual discovery that boys have, because for boys, it's just like right there. So it's just like very easy. It's like,
also culturally, like how many and times do you hear like jerk off or something like that? And I will agree with that, Shandy. I do distinctly remember knowing something was up, but not knowing what to do about it and putting it together when I was later.
Yeah. Well, because as a kid, it's just all sensory. Like, it's a feeling and it feels good. So you're like, oh, okay. And like, you don't yet attach that there's anything else to it until later.
Unless you grow up in a family that doesn't talk about that stuff, so you feel weird about it.
Well, right.
But it's like a 6 year old. Like, you don't, you're not doing it for.
That's true. When you're sexual,
Because it's a sensation. It's a feeling, and you've never felt it before. And you're like, oh, you're exploring it. So it's like you're not attaching it to like masturbation per se.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm not saying that 6 year olds should necessarily be like encouraged to masturbate or anything. That's obviously way too early. But I feel like if you are like in a household where it's just like not talked about or it's something to be ashamed of or whatever, then like that, like you're not necessarily going to try to do anything later on. Like you're not going to put those pieces together until way later on when you're potentially already an adult. And then like men have like a 10-year head start on you with knowing how their body works. And,
right.
Like for real. So that's the one thing that I would definitely discourage anyone from doing, but it sounds like this person is on the right track, but it's like one of those super uncomfortable conversations that you and it's only uncomfortable, I guess, because we make it uncomfortable because we think it's going to be uncomfortable and because we have this like inherited sort of like shame and weirdness about it too.
Exactly. It's probably more uncomfortable for the parent than it is for the kid because we know what it means and like we have all the associations, whereas like a 6 year old doesn't. This is like,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah. But I guess so. Our overall advice for Anonymous is to it is natural and do speak to her, but don't speak to her right after it happens because you don't want her associated with anything like shameful, and to try to relate it to a way that best works with her. Because if you make it uncomfortable for yourself, then she's going to feel uncomfortable about it. Is that our overall advice?
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have an email from Mandy of Mr. Mandy fame. Listening to the Champagne Brunch, and here are my thoughts/questions. The first is, I want a shirt. How do we make that happen? We're working on it. We're going to talk to Jacob about that. The second one is the new artwork is amazing.
I agree.
Yes. Agreed. Shandy, girl, I feel ya. I used to go to trivia every week with a group of friends and I was the worst. It's a running joke that I'm only useful for specific TV shows and a little sports. I'd go back to trivia if you came so I could have someone to drink with.
Awesome.
Holla. And I do have to say, though, I'm also really shitty at trivia. Like, we used to do trivia with my coworker, his wife, and Cliff, who Amanda knows Cliff. Cliff was before Shandy's time.
Do.
Oh, yes. Cliffy Cliff. Oh. But Crivy Criff. And I was always the worst, but I always loved the fuck out of going, probably because there were buffalo wings and beer. So always a silver lining.
I agree that I actually agree that trivia in like a pub or something is more fun because you like there's more noise. There's less focus on each individual and you can just have like chicken wings and beer and, you know, it's easier to pass under the radar.
Yes. Next up we have, I love the last four words when I finished watching Gilmore Girls at 7 a.m. on November 25th, which would be Black Friday, I believe. But after thinking more, your comments and rewatching the original series, it is underwhelming and not believable. I mean, it's totally believable if Rue is fucking him without a condom, but yeah.
But why would she be?
I know. This is bad storytelling.
Guys.
Because A, because of who she is, and B, because
her mother.
Like, he had an
fiance?
Actual, like, fiance. So I believe that usually the rule would state.
Well, that's also confirming that we know who the father is. The act could have happened off camera outside of the storyline.
No, but I mean, remember how much she freaked out about having a fucking one night stand?
That's true.
Again, not in her character to really just be like, you know, banging left and right.
Well, clearly Rory is using
y'all know my thought. Yeah.
Next up, number five, Logan. I don't think that Logan's French woman knew about Rory. I agree that Logan is by far the best to Rory. While I love Jess, he was an asshole to her in high school. I agree, but you know, hotties be hottie. The hashtag anti-feminism. The parallel between Logan and Christopher is obvious. It's not obvious to me, but I really like the Colleen theory of a Logan and Richard parallel. Holla. Mm-hmm. I will check back when I rewatch the revival. Number six, Amanda has completely blown my mind with the Rory and Christopher scene. And number seven, thoughts on how little of Suki we saw. Hashtag I'm with hers. I mean, clearly.
I'm just glad we saw any Suki.
I know, but clearly, I mean.
Chick be busy. She's like a star now. Mm-hmm. Chick got shit to do.
She's
a ghostbuster.
Yeah.
She's a
still, you don't forget where you came from.
She don't got time.
No, you don't forget where you came from.
They didn't ask her at first. They just assumed she was going to be too busy. That's the only reason why she's in the show is because she was like, guys, why didn't anyone even ask me? I can make my schedule free. Yeah, that was, there was like, I think HuffPo reported it. That was,
I'm sorry. Melissa McCarthy's publicist said that. I don't believe anything that anybody ever says.
Why are you hating on Melissa McCarthy?
I'm not hating on Melissa McCarthy. I just, you know, heard that she and Kristen Wiig didn't get along during Ghostbusters because they both had some ego issues. So now I'm kind of like,
nah. I'm all the way. I'm on her side.
All right. Well, we've got a couple more emails to hit you with. So, Shandy Pants.
All right. Dear broadcasters, I only recently saw the light and started listening to your excellent podcast. Now I'm hooked.
Yay.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm re-listening to the series from the beginning, but I'm slightly dreading listening to the episode after the election. I understand. Like you three, my political leanings are left of center, and I have some trepidation about the next 4 years. I think the likelihood of the worst is never quite small, but we will most likely see corruption on the federal level that we last saw in the first 6 years of the Bush administration. See Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff. America doesn't realize how scandal-free the federal government was in the last 8 years compared to prior administrations. Truth. That swamp they keep talking about was pretty small, but it's about to grow exponentially. One other thing. I heard the term quote-unquote fiscal conservative come up in a few of your conversations, and I think it was in reference to conversations you had with people on the other side of the political aisle. As someone who has worked in finance his entire career, I can say that anyone who claims to be a quote-unquote fiscal conservative is likely deluding themselves. Specifically, the political party that doesn't control the White House always beats the drum hard about the debt and deficit. And the modern GOP beats the drum especially hard when they are out of power and does its best to cut spending on any non-military programs, especially education and environmental protection. Because once they are in charge, they open the sluice gates immediately by cutting taxes and ramping up spending. To quote Dick Cheney from 2002, quote-unquote, deficits don't matter. End quote. Of course, what he really meant to say was deficits don't matter when we're in charge. But on a deeper public finance level, he's actually quite right. Why? Well, it's really quite simple. If the federal government controls the creation of money via the Treasury Department, then they can always create enough money to cover the deficit or pay off their debt. The only thing limiting this process would be the inflation it would create. In other words, the federal government can never go broke, and using the spurious argument as a weapon to cut federal spending on key programs is Machiavellian at best, especially when you said, and will likely say again, the deficits don't matter. Sorry, this email was lengthy and veered into wonkish territory. Next time I'll try my best, but probably fail to bring the humor. Thanks for the great podcast, and I hope you all have a wonderful holiday season. Looking forward to hearing about all the great news stories in 2012. Eckhart. So thank you for that email. I'm actually really excited to get Eckhart's feedback once he does get to the election episode. It was a doozy.
It was a doozy. I will give you that.
Yeah, I love this stuff about fiscal conservativeness. Yes.
And that's interesting because I'm pretty sure I'm the one that has said that.
Yes.
Oh, I've definitely said it too. And I think it's also like as an excuse, trying to apologize for my friends that I know are good people that are, and it's right, like, oh, because they consider it in sort of Republicans in the way of like small government and
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I would never.
Well, I think a lot of it is how I was raised too.
Not socially. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. A lot of it is like, for me, how I was raised, and I understand the like, actual statistic versus some of the things that I heard, you know, growing up. And I do think that, like, I feel like a lot of the social things kind of bleed into the more fiscal things. How is that? Okay. Like, this is a horrible, horrible example, but we're an hour and a half in and I've had two glasses of wine, so bear with me. Something like welfare, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's like a fiscal issue, but I feel like that's also more of a social issue too, right? It's kind of made into that by everybody else. So like when I say fiscal, I don't mean things like that are typical fiscal / social issues. Go. Somebody else.
I see what you're saying, and I would actually agree. And I mean, I've like probably made it like very apparent on this podcast that I would not consider myself conservative in any way, shape, or form, whether it be socially or fiscally or like otherwise. And I do, for me, Colleen, like they do bleed into each other in that I think that like talking about being fiscally conservative, it's just a matter of your priorities. Where do you prioritize to spend the money? We're going to spend some money. So where do we put it? And so when you look at something like welfare, then it does like combine into this thing of, well, do you value for you? Is it important? Like, do you see the world in the way where you think that people should, you know, pick them up by their bootstraps and work hard and that's how I'll get ahead? Or do you see the world and so they're, you know, we should cut back on welfare programs because those people are just being lazy? Or do you see the world more in a way where you see that there are actually like many systemic things that keep people down and that the system is built in such a way that if you have money, it's easier to keep more money. And if you don't, then it is very difficult to actually, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And so what do you value? Are you going to value those people? And if so, you're probably going to want to put money into things like welfare. And, you know, Eckhart mentioned like education and the environment And so it is, it's all a matter of prioritizing. Or do you value other things and want to put your money there? But I would say that, yeah, either side, both sides are going to spend money. It's just a matter of where do you want to, where do you want to put it? And I would say that's definitely like, that's what he said.
Amanda, Amanda, you have anything?
No, I think I already kind of covered.
Thank you, Eckhart, for that email. Amanda, do you want to read Jessica's?
Yes.
And you have it up for Jessica, right?
I will. I will in a minute.
Circle, circle, time. Circle, circle.
I gotta get warmed up. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, ladies, longtime listener, first time emailer. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on proper etiquette when you drop things, usually food, into your bra? Oh, man, this is the perfect one for me.
I know. That's why I said read it.
Do you reach in and grab whatever fell in there, or do you wait until you can go to the bathroom or a room where no one will see?
I reach and the fuck in.
And what if someone sees the object in the fall? Do you laugh it off, or you distract them somehow so you can pick out said object? This depends on who you are with, of course, and what falls in there. This thought occurred to me when over the weekend I was at the Field Museum in Chicago enjoying my lunch when whoops! And of course, I wasn't done eating and the bathroom wasn't nearby. And when no one was looking, I reached in and pulled out said fallen food object, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the subject. Love the show. Enjoy the holidays. Oh, man. This happens all the freaking time.
I was at a luncheon today with judges, and I reached the fuck in and fixed that shit. So that's my answer.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, it depends on what it is and where you are and who you are with. Like, I've definitely done it at work plenty of times where I'm like, well, no one's really looking, and just, or if you're like with friends, like, no one fucking cares, reach on down there and grab it. But yeah, I suppose they're
reach probably on down there and grab it and then pop and just, it in your mouth, right?
That's true. 5 second rule counts for your cleavage, man. It's clean in there. If you showered, it's clean.
I guess like, I don't really have cleavage, so I don't think I've ever dropped something in my bra.
Also, it's uncomfortable if you leave it there.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, you're like squirming around.
It's going to make a stain.
Or yeah, or it'll make a stain, depending on what it is.
Yes. I don't have any 5 second rules for my cleavage.
Like, like a day rule.
No, just until I take my bra off and it falls on the floor, then the 5 second rule goes into effect. I'm just saying.
Oh, like, I've had things where like earring backs fall in there. Or I just assume they're in there because I can't find them.
Yeah.
So you just go diving?
You go diving, or you just like wait till you get home and you're like, shake everything out.
Yes. I've done that before too.
Yeah.
And we have one last email, and that is from Shut Up Tim, who I heard that, speaking of Shut Up Tim, I've just gotten a text message from one Nick Dunn from the Married Men show that they were running so long.
Okay. Oh, no.
They only answered the first two questions from our phone call. And I said, are you fucking kidding me? Quote, unquote. And Nick said, we didn't get to anything that we had planned. We just gave Tim shit for 2 hours for liking Bono. Wow, that sounds like a really good use of 2 fucking hours when we gave you great content.
We gave sounds you like, so many questions.
Sounds like a riveting episode.
Yeah. I'll be sure to not listen.
And then
just kidding.
Sent me that.
The likeness is uncanny.
And by likeness, we mean Tim and Bono. Bono.
Yeah.
All right. So we have an email from to finish this out from Shut Up Tim. Hi, if you had to predict 3 ways your lives will be different in 2017, what would you say? Love and kisses, Tim.
That's actually a really great question.
Yes. This is how we're going to close this shit out.
I call not it first.
I'll start. Because mine might get serious. Mm-hmm. So 2016 was not a great year for me. I had a lot of up and downs. I had a lot. My therapist worked real hard this year. I'll just say that. And after a shitty year, it ended last month. And you guys know this, but nobody else does. I found out in the middle of November that I was pregnant, and then a week later I had a miscarriage at 6 weeks, and it sucked, and I didn't know if I was going to talk about it or not, and I didn't know if I was going to address it, and I had it the day before episode 21, and I didn't want to talk about it then because I wanted to keep that upbeat and positive, and I didn't want to talk about it at the champagne brunch or anything like that. And if I could predict 3 ways that my life would be different, I hope that it's more stable, because I don't feel like this has been a stable year for me. And I wasn't trying to get pregnant. I was actually completely surprised. I had no idea that I was even pregnant until my period was like a day late. And I was like, oh, you know, sometimes it's a day or so late. And Jay was like, no, your boobs look bigger. Let's go get a pregnancy test. And I was like, no, wow. They don't. And he was like, no, really, your boobs are bigger. And they were like this with Zach. So let's go get a test. And I was like, okay, fine. And then I was totally shocked and totally unexpected. And I estimated between 5 and 6 weeks. So thank you, Brian's Wedding, for that one. But I hope that if it happens again, it ends up being better. And I know that I'm brushing over this pretty quickly. I don't want to cry, and I don't want to make this awkward. And I realize that mentioning it, being like, oh, BT Dubs, it's making it really awkward, but I still feel awkward talking about it. I'm not really ready to talk about it. But yeah, that I think, I hope that, I don't even know. I don't know where to go with it. So yeah, in 2017, I predict that the broadcast is going to be more kick-ass than ever. So take
Hell
that.
Yeah. And
sorry, you guys go. I just made this super awkward and weird. I don't know how to get through that. I just
ass broad.
Yeah.
Still. So yeah.
Carl, you've had a year.
It's been an odd year. It's definitely been a year of self reflection, and this podcast actually really, really helped me a lot, because it kind of reminded me of sort of myself. Like, I do a lot of things, but like, it's been kind of like a year of kind of like learning more of who I am and who I want to be. And this podcast has actually really, 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 really reminded me of that, because I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, I am the kind of person, like, it brought me back to like my Metro Buzz days almost, where like I got out there and was like, I'm going to talk about this shit, and I'm going to talk about, you know, having an orgasm on an airplane, you know, you know, all these things that are me. I think next year is going to be even better, because I feel like this has been like one of the greatest things I've done this year. This is like in my top 3 things from this year is the broadcast. So
hell yeah.
I would say for me too.
Yeah. Predicting my life would be different. Like I said, yeah, I don't even know different. Like, I can't even say different. I have to just say like, continuing to have a better sense of self. Like, I feel like Carla, my therapist, is really gonna do some rah, 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 you go, girl, in 2017. Nice. And for $50 a week, she should.
Oh, I wish it was only $50 a week. Shandy, would you like to go next?
Well, I have a couple of goals for next year. So I don't know if that's exactly what the question is, but I think I mentioned that I am running the Big Sur Marathon next year.
Yay!
Yeah.
And it's in April, so training will officially start actually like any week now. I need to make my calendar, my training calendar. But my current PR in a marathon is 4 hours and 20 minutes, and it happens to be the Big Sur Marathon from 2015. And I would really like to run a sub-4-hour marathon. So that's my goal. And it's taking 20 minutes off is like kind of a lot, but I feel like maybe, hopefully I can do it. So it's at least something to work for. So that's one thing. And then number two is kind of two things. I'm cheating. I actually have 4 things that I wrote down.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. I also kind of want to work on myself. I think that I have kind of not like got lost along the way, but it's been a weird couple of years. And we've talked on this podcast about meditating, and I really want to actually do it. So that's one thing that I think I'm going to really try. It's like kind of like out of my comfort zone, but I think it's really good to do things that are out of your comfort zone. So I want to try that. Also, something that I've never really talked about on this podcast, but where I currently live, one of my complaints is that it's hard to meet friends because a lot of the people where I live, like they're like really old. A lot of people like retire here, or they're like only here for like a very short amount of time. And so I want to make more in-person friends. And I went to this event on Friday at the museum that had people my age that were like cool artsy people. And I met this woman and I'm like so excited about it. Like, we're going to be friends. And we've like texted, we have plans on Thursday. Like, I'm so excited. So I want to actually like meet friends. And like, I think that like part of that has been like difficulties just because of where I am. But part of that is also on me to like go out and make it happen. And so I'm going to do my part. And then finally, like professionally, now I feel like I'm talking about like my stretch goals for next year, but professionally, like I've been doing what I've been doing for a while, and I feel like it's time to add a new layer. So like I'm applying to this program to do like, God, what is it even called? Like instructional technology. And so I want to kind of like add that to my,
nice,
my resume, and yeah, kind of like expand in that area. So that's, yeah, 2017. Here's looking at you.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So for me, yeah, I guess the past couple of years have been kind of rough. I've had a lot of unexpected death.
Yeah.
The past 2 years. So my hope for 2017 is that everyone I love stays alive.
Oh my God.
yeah. That it just, that there's more healing and peace. Yeah. I bought my tickets. I am going to the Women's March in DC in January.
Awesome.
Yay.
Yeah. So, and I think, yeah, I have a lot of trepidation about what next year is going to bring in terms of our country and just the world at large. And so I think my hope for myself is that instead of just being nervous about it, that I actually put my nerves to action and actually do things as opposed to just posting about it on Facebook just thinking about it. So I think that's kind of the first hopefully the first step. I'm going with a friend of mine who I actually produced my film Trickster with. She's working on a documentary short. And so she wants to pick up some footage there. So I'm hoping that will inspire me as well. And also it's just fun to get the band back together, as it were. And just in terms of general goals and working on oneself, I've decided I want to get involved in improv. I want to take an improv class next year.
Awesome!
That's awesome.
I'm very like guarded. I'm very, very guarded, and I think improv would help kind of shake me loose a little bit. And it's something I've wanted to do since Marist days, and I've always just been too scared. So yeah. I think 2017 will be the year that I kick my own butt. Yeah, and just exploring. I also have booked tickets to go to Morocco in September of next year. It's the longest vacation. It's the most days off of work I will have ever taken off consecutively since working. I'll be taking like, it's like over 2 weeks. So I'll be taking like 10 days off of work, which is
addicting.
Crazy. Yeah, I've never done that, so I'm pretty pumped about that and new adventures and yeah, positivity.
Yes, positivity.
The moral of 2017 is just to be positive forward motion.
Yes, I think you said that perfectly. Positive forward motion, and as Jay and I keep quoting to each other since we finished Luke Cage. What is it? Always forward, forward always, or whatever the fuck it is.
I don't know. I just made it through the pilot and with every intention to go back, and I just never
It's can't. Awesome. Watch it, dude. It's great. But
some of the dialogue was just like too much. I just couldn't do it. I was like,
oh. No, it's great. I love Luke Cage. It was really good. But yeah, so happy 2016, guys.
Good riddance, yes.
Good riddance. Glad it's over.
Yeah, good riddance. Yes. Right.
Very happy to welcome in a new year.
I feel like we should like close this out with like a Christmas carol or something. Be like, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Well, even though some of us don't believe that. And mercy, my old God, and sinners reconcile. This is really great with the Skype delay.
I know. That's why I've learned. You just have to keep going. Like, you can't
That's
try and jump on
what
anyone
she
else's.
Said.
Like, because you're not going to get on the same tempo.
Maybe we should sing, like, angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains. And the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or we could just fucking finish on, I don't know.
Yes!
I'm Colleen on that note.
And I'm Shannon.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. We'll see you in 2017. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Clarence. Sorry. Anyway. All right, guys. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to us for the last 6 months. It has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yep.
Such a pleasure.
Yay. That's what she said.
Yes. Hopefully. Fuck yeah.
Or you've done it wrong.
Or you've done it wrong.
Starting on way too long.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it. He knows if you've been back. you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. You better be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not try. Santa Claus is coming to town.